Well, 1 week until Christmas. Yes? Okay. Man, Shanna brought the Christmas this morning. Like she said, I mean, I don't dislike carols. Let's change that. I don't hate them, that's for sure. I just, there's so many, when I'm thinking about worship, there's so much more that I like. But, definitely gets you in the mood, right? Feeling the mood this morning? Okay. So, everybody done with their Christmas shopping? No. Who is completely done? Ooh, there are a lot of hands. Who has not started? Oh! Wow, everybody point and stare at all these people around. I'm actually surprised that many people were brave. That's awesome. Yeah, it does. It's a testament to the safety in this family, she said. Well, Shanna got the majority of our shopping done on Black Friday. Yeah, now she didn't brave all the craziness, the stampedes down in Redding or Sacramento, but she went online because we have so much family across the country and my family in Indiana, her family in Colorado, so she got on there. She's like, Look at this deal. Amazon Prime. Anybody? Yeah, I love it. So Shannon just got on there. She's like, getting her done. And she really, almost everything was done the day after Thanksgiving, which was awesome. Because then it freed us up. And for those of you who weren't here maybe last week or the week before, our family went to Disney. And not just Disneyland, we went to Disney World. And so, world is significantly bigger. So we were there in the park for 5 days. It was awesome. And we didn't have to think about, the shopping that still needs to get done for Christmas. So that was awesome. I want to actually share a couple pictures with you. You guys want to see some pictures? Okay. So first, I don't know if you can see this. So this is hilarious. So this is, we're leaving the park. It is late. Obviously, it's dark, and the castle is all lit up. It's beautiful. But if you can see Mia's face, she was asleep 2 seconds before this picture was taken. And we're like, baby, we want to get a picture in front of the castle. It's so beautiful. Will you please wake up? And so, bless her heart, she woke up and gave her the best, I'm happy to be awake face that you could give. And so she's... Well, I mean, we have several of those pictures, and so it was beautiful, but man, they were troopers. But, I was thinking about that, but, I wonder where she gets that face from. She has, a lot of you know Mia, she has lots of facial expressions. She has some amazing facial expressions, but then I went through the pictures, I was like, oh right, I know where she gets that from. Yeah, that's me and Ava. I know Ava's more terrified than I am. I'm just excited. Excited to be riding Space Mountain with my daughter. But you know what? You know, it might not all be from me. She might get some from Shanna, too. Look at that in the front. I don't know if you can see that. She's like, anyway, I won't keep that up too long. But, yeah, there's us. That's at Epcot. So Epcot is one of the parks at Disney World, and there are all these different nations represented. And so this is us in Paris. We're in Paris. I know it looks like we're in Paris, but we're actually Disney. So anyway, some little pictures for you. You know, it was really fun being at Disney during Christmas. Has anybody ever gone to Disney, Disneyland, one of the parks during Christmas? Because they really go all out. I mean, it's decorated. I mean, you saw the castle, how it was lit. But there are Christmas trees galore all over the place. And they're all amazing. And you know what? I was kind of going, wondering, will they say Christmas? You know, have they gone to that PC thing? Or will it be happy holidays? Oh, happy holidays, happy holidays. And it actually wasn't. they said Christmas all over the place. A few nights a week, they closed the Magic Kingdom early, and they put on this special event called Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. Yeah, they didn't make it Very Happy Holiday Party. They actually made it Very Merry Christmas Party. I was like, that is awesome. And then on top of that, you have, they're playing Christmas music nonstop. You hear it all throughout the park, and it's not that they're going, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. You know, the stuff that totally is devoid of Jesus and his significance. No, it wasn't just all that stuff. It was the real Jesus stuff, like we sang this morning. And I was like, this is awesome. I showed you that picture from Epcot. When we were at Epcot, like five times a day during the Christmas season, they have a gospel band up singing Christmas songs. But when we stepped up, it wasn't even Christmas. They were just straight out singing, praise him, praise him. And I was like, where am I? I feel like I stepped into it's a church. But here we are in Disney. So it was awesome. And then there is Disney has this like shopping area. It's outside of the park, so you don't have to have a ticket to get in. You just go and you shop, but it's of course it's still done by Disney, so it's excellent. It's beautiful everywhere you look. It's decorated just magnificently. And every night, twice a night, they have this show. And the show is an army of drones, 300 drones flying in the air in the night sky in unison that make up like a star, like it looks like stars, and then they change and they become a shape and then they move around. It's all choreographed music. I actually have a little clip to show you. You guys want to see it? We have the sound. Here, let me see if I can fix the sound back here. Here we go. Cool. Once again, I was like, Disney, come on, that's awesome. I'm not going to mistake that, you know, Disney's turning Christian or anything. I know that they don't do everything right by any means, but I'm still like, good for you. Good for you. That's awesome. Like to hear that ringing in the night air and people coming from all around, definitely not believers. I mean, there were a lot there, but everybody around was not a believer. Who knows what faith they came from or any faith at all. And they're not like stomping their feet around like, I'm offended by this. No, there was none of that. Because there's something about Christmas. I know that, you know, over the last 10 to 20 years, there's been this increase in people saying happy holidays because they don't want to offend. But Christmas still creates this amazing opportunity to talk about Jesus in environments that might normally be hostile to the gospel. I don't know if you've noticed that. People who don't want anything to do with God or Jesus still love Christmas. That's a huge opportunity. Sure, they talk more about Santa, and obviously in our culture, consumerism, the buy, and spend becomes a huge part of it. But but the unbelievers still even talk about the spirit of Christmas. The spirit of Christmas. Like Hollywood will even talk about the spirit of Christmas. They don't even know what it means. They say the spirit of Christmas, and they'll even refer to peace and joy. Now, they might not recognize or wanted to admit to the source of that, but they still get just a little bit of it. At one point of our trip, during one of the many shows we saw, it was declared, I don't know if Shanna remembers this, but I do, it just hit me. It said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. In that moment, that statement just hit me. It created this wow within my heart, within my spirit. There wasn't any context to the statement in that show, in that presentation to like, oh, this was actually angels, you know, singing, declaring the birth of Christ. There wasn't the context. So some people might have just been thinking, oh, that's a very nice sentiment. But for me, I was like, man, that's it. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. So this morning, I want to talk about the significance of Christmas. And to some extent, that statement, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Because I think when we get to Christmas, I don't know if any of you guys feel this way, but I do. I have, in the past, really felt like Christmas was kind of like second rate towards Easter. As in regards to Christ. You know what I mean? Like, Christmas is probably a bigger holiday in our culture, but in regards to Jesus and the significance of Jesus, I think it's just the baby. You know? It's his birth. Happy birthday, Jesus! If anybody, am I alone here? That I thought, but Easter, I mean, that's the death and resurrection. So that is obviously significant. No doubt, that is hugely significant in our faith. It's very central to our faith. But Christmas seems like, yeah, that's when he was born. That's awesome. Cool. Happy birthday. So, but I just began to look at it more. I'm like, there's more to this. So, I want to look at Scripture. When I'm studying Scripture, I really love to look at context. And I want to look at what something said meant in that day and age. Because it's really easy to just fall into, you know, traditions. Like, this is what we do on Christmas. This is what Jesus was born. But, you know, it's because he's going to be the Savior of the world and he's going to die for our sins so that we can go to heaven someday. You know, there's some of that that's prevalent even in Christian circles. And so I want to look back. Okay, what was the significance of the birth? What did they say about Jesus at the time of his birth? And even maybe a little bit before then. So that's what I want to look at. I want to look at the record of Christ's birth. Now, there are only two Gospels that actually speak of Jesus' birth. So there are four Gospels, but only two, Matthew and Luke, actually talk about Jesus' birth. The other two just skip all that and go right to John, declaring the way of the Lord, right? So, but here's the thing, both Matthew and Luke actually, they bring different aspects. So Matthew, he talks about the wise men, and Luke leaves out the wise men. Luke brings about the shepherds watching over their flocks by night. Matthew has no mention of them. So we actually need both to get a full picture of the account of Jesus' birth. So let's take a look at his birth. I think it's in these scriptures surrounding his birth that we really find the significance of him coming to the earth and what that meant. All right. Let's start in Luke 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." That's a powerful statement. That's significant. That's not just a baby being born for something that's going to happen later. I mean, there's something there. And now I might point out in this that this is the very first mention of who Jesus is and what he will do, in the New Testament at least. There are prophecies in the Old Testament, but as far as the New Testament, this is the very first mention of who Jesus is and what he will do. In biblical study, there's a thing called law of first mention. Not always, but very often the first mention of something or someone in Scripture is particularly significant in how they should be understood. So I just want to zoom in on this passage for a little bit, okay? So we learn several things about this baby that is to be born. One, he is to be named Jesus, right? Now, that's a little slide for it. Jesus. In the Greek, the name is Iesus, which means Savior. Yeah, he's our Savior. More than likely, he would have actually been given the Hebrew name equivalent. And when I say that, I'm not saying anything that's against Scripture. What I'm saying is the New Testament was written in Greek, and so they gave him the Greek version of this name. We call him Jesus, right? That's the English version of the Greek Iesus, which Greek Iesus is the Greek version of the Hebrew Yeshua, which means the Lord delivers. So why is this name important? Well, I think you can figure that out. But in the Hebrew culture, names really meant something. It wasn't just like, what do we want to name our child? Let's name him Methuselah. I mean, somebody actually was named Methuselah. We wouldn't do that today. But I know we thought of, when we named our daughters, we really thought long and hard about their names and what they meant. Ava, which is EVA, by the way, not AVA. EVA means giver of life. So we were prophetically declaring over her life that she would be a giver of life. And the same thing in the Old Testament, it was really significant that their name spoke to either their beginnings, their birth, their beginnings, or their prophetic destiny. Let me give an example. Pharaoh's daughter gave the Hebrew baby that she found the name Moses. And she gave an explanation why she called him Moses. "Because I drew him out of the water." Interestingly enough, while this name Moses means to draw out, so that was her intention. I drew him out of the water, so I'm going to name him Moses, meaning to draw out. But The name can also mean one who draws out. So she had no idea what she was doing. That yes, she thought she was just giving him a name to speak to his beginning, but she was actually declaring his prophetic destiny and being the one to draw the people out of Egypt. So back to Jesus and the Gospel of Matthew. An angel confirms the name Jesus to Joseph in a dream, saying, I was in Luke, jumping over to Matthew, because this is not recorded in Luke. So we're going to Matthew. Angel visits Joseph because he's like, I'm just going to divorce this pregnant lady quietly and get out of this whole thing. And an angel visits him and confirms it and says, this is from the Lord, and that you will name him Jesus. Same thing the angel told to Mary. You will name him Jesus. And he says, for he will save his people from their sins. So Jesus, meaning Savior, and the Lord delivers, is given this name because he will save the people from their sin, from their sins. So that's very intentional. So another thing we learn from this encounter with the angel Gabriel, he says that Jesus will be called the Son of the Most High. This directly correlates to what the prophet Isaiah foretold 700 years earlier. I love that. 700 years earlier, this guy is prophesying these words. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. I love that, that we sang Emmanuel this morning. And Emmanuel means God with us. So we know that Jesus is the Son of God, God with us, who will save and deliver people from their sins. Okay, I think we're all good there, right? We got that. But now lastly, the angel tells Mary, and this is what I want to focus even harder on. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. So a few things I want to point out. Firstly, in case you didn't realize, the throne of David is an earthly throne. Might sound elementary, but you got to get that. The throne of David is an earthly throne. He didn't say, and we will give him the throne of heaven. Now, does Jesus sit on a throne in heaven? He sits at the right hand. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. But that's not the declaration over this child that was being born. He would sit on the throne of David, probably the most famous king of Israel, God's chosen nation. And this nation, obviously, was on the earth. The dominion he is being given is on the earth. Okay, then it says that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. To me, when I hear that initially, I'm like, that's pretty synonymous. It's like saying that's definitely definite. You know, I'm just saying the same thing two different ways. But when you actually look at the Greek, you find a different picture. Let me get this up here. Forever versus no end. In English, that sounds exactly the same. In the Greek, forever is a word ace. And it's speaking to motion or direction. It is not talking about time. So it's not this unending time that he will reign over the house of Jacob. It's speaking to motion. You could say that forever in this case is speaking about expansion. That from that time forward his kingdom, his reign will continuously expand, perpetually expand. It's not that it was beginning and it would never end, but it would continually expand. And I think that's an amazing picture. And then his kingdom will have no end. The word for end here is telos. And this one is speaking on about time. That he has a kingdom that has no termination or completion. So it's not for, we have this period of time while Jesus is on the earth, his kingdom is being established and it ends, and then it's going to pick back up maybe later when Jesus returns. There's no end to his kingdom. There's no completion. To me, this sounds an awful lot like Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. So another prophecy from Isaiah about the coming Messiah. He said, For to us, a child is born. I'll put it up there. To us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. I want to start over. I want you to get that. For unto us, a child is born, and a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The child. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So why do I believe this is important to the understanding of Christmas? Because I believe that the establishment and expansion of his kingdom began the day Jesus was born. I'll say that again. I believe that the establishment and expansion, the perpetual expansion of his kingdom began the very day Jesus was born. See, many Jews rejected Jesus because they read this prophecy from Isaiah and they were looking for a powerful king, power in military might, who would overthrow Roman rule and establish Israel as the superpower on the earth. Think the United States is a superpower today. Think of us times 10. No one would even think about touching the nation of Israel with the Messiah on the throne. That's what the Jews were looking for. So they said, nah, Jesus can't be it. Even Jesus' disciples were a little confused. They thought, well, those people, they haven't accepted you, Jesus. They haven't welcomed you. So we're going to call down fire on them. He said, you don't know what you're of. And when they tried to take Jesus away, Peter cut the ear off of the soldier. And here Jesus just goes over and heals it and rebukes him. So what kind of kingdom was he, Jesus, is he establishing, and how is he going to do it? Or how is he doing it? I know it seems like I'm getting away from the Christmas story here, so let me get back to Luke 2. We pick up the story after Jesus was born, and we read, this is chapter 2, verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds. Living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy that will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I told you I'd get back to that. Touch on that. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I believe Jesus' birth actually signified peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And if we put it back in our mind, that Jewish concept of the Messiah, rise up, overthrow Roman rule, establish the Jewish nation as a superpower, no other nation on earth would dare come against them. Right? And you would find peace. There would be peace on the earth. But that's not the kind of peace that Jesus came to bring. That's not what Jesus came to do. I believe that the angels were declaring a different kind of peace. They were declaring the truth that peace is not the absence of something, it is the presence of someone. So peace is not the absence of conflict. It is not the absence of hardship. It is the presence of someone, meaning God Himself, Emmanuel, God with us. Because remember, as we said before, what did Isaiah declare? That they would call Him Emmanuel, God with us. Before John the Baptist, for hundreds of years, God had been silent. He wasn't speaking. They may have thought He was gone, for all they knew. He was seemingly absent. But through Jesus, we find God more present than ever. And He wasn't just coming for a short determined amount of time. God with us didn't start with Jesus' birth and end with His ascension into heaven. This is really important. It didn't start with His birth and end with His ascension into heaven. No, Jesus was the beginning point to God with us. That should be exciting to you. Do you remember what Jesus told the disciples in the Great Commission at the end of Matthew? His last words in that gospel were, "Lo, I am with you, always, even to the end of the age." And now God with us, we have what the prophets of old only could have dreamt about. You know, for all of the miracles that were performed in the Old Testament, for all the prophecies, these great, mighty men of faith, these prophets, they could have only dreamed what we have. God dwelling within us. I believe their declaration of goodwill toward men, it's because He was giving Himself. More than ever before, God was giving Himself. Like, what more could He do to show favor toward men that He would give Himself, choose to be on them and in them? So now, His kingdom, His government, His rule is established and expanded wherever we go and reveal Emmanuel, God with us. Wherever we go and represent Him, represent Him as Emmanuel, God with us, His rule and reign is expanded throughout the earth. That's good news. This is why I believe we celebrate Christmas. It's not because it's Jesus' birthday, though it is, sort of. He wasn't born on December 25th. But, oh, spoiler! It's not because the Savior came into the world to save us, though that is an amazing point. It's an amazing part of why He came into the world, to save us from our sins. He obviously did that. But He saved us from our sins so that we could be hosts of the presence of God. So we could be carriers of Emmanuel, God with us. And so that's why we actually celebrate. We celebrate on Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to say, "He is Emmanuel." Okay, now I want you to turn to your neighbor and I want you to say, and He's in you. You get that? You feel that? That is significant that Emmanuel lives within you. You are the plan now. Why don't you stand? I want to pray. And I realized this morning, you know, Fenton was talking about hope. And some of you are here and you're like, I don't feel like I have hope. And I don't feel like God is with me. I realize that that is a very real possibility in this room. But I want you to know, there's nothing you could do to earn or send away His love. There's nothing you could do to earn or send away His presence. It's a gift and it's freely given. So after I pray, the prayer team is going to come up, and if you're like, I don't feel His presence in my life, I don't think that God is with me, let's get that taken care of this morning. I really mean that. Especially in this holiday season and the hustle and bustle, to feel lost and to feel like God is absent is not something that I want anybody in this room carrying. So come in and get prayer for that. Okay? All right, let me pray. God, we thank You this morning for Emmanuel, God with us. Thank You for the privilege that You gave. Thank You for Your goodwill toward men. And the peace, the spirit of Christmas, the peace and joy that lives in the hearts and minds of every single believer, God. And then I also thank You, God, that You have chosen every single individual in here to be carriers of Your kingdom, to be carriers of Emmanuel, wherever they go, wherever their feet may tread.